Any novel, any magazine contains some sort of love story. Some are more positive, some are more negative. It's interesting because if you think about the most innocuous love story, like Disney, let's say, if you Google love lessons from Disney, you will get numerous accounts of people who say that Disney set them up for failed relationships. That unfortunately, the world of Disney and of so many love stories that are out there in the world paints this picture that relationships take no work. And that is a very non-Jewish approach. That the Jewish approach to love and relationships is that love and relationships are something that you put hard work into. So over the past few weeks, I've been trying to look at different lessons that we can take in Elul in order that we typically apply to our relationship with Hashem and apply them to our interpersonal relationships and vice versa. Take lessons of our interpersonal relationships and apply them to Hashem. So as Jews, where can we look for those positive relationship messages, those love stories that do run in accordance with Jewish values? And throughout Tanakh, you are able to look at the relationships of our forefathers and of all the various characters in Tanakh, and you can definitely learn from them. But in the genre of explicit love stories in the Torah, they're a little bit few and far between. But one of the most famous love stories that we have is that of Shir HaShirim. Now, the interesting piece is that the Mefarshim grapple with why Shir HaShirim ended up in the Torah. They say, what does this type of very explicit, very overt love story, what place does that have in the Torah? So many Mefarshim then look at Shir HaShirim on the level of Mashal, that they say this must be a parable, and on some level we are supposed to apply it to our lives, but not specifically to our love, to our interpersonal relationships. And in the end of the day, many of the Mefarshim agree that while it may be the main goal of Shir HaShirim to learn about our relationship with Hashem or our relationship between our neshama and our body, there are many levels of mashal at which you can understand this story. There is the level of understanding and reading the pshat. Yes, there are some mefarshim who will say you cannot learn anything from the pshat of Shir HaShirim. But what I would like to do today is look into that pshat level of Shir HaShirim and try to draw out a message for us in this month of Elul, for our interpersonal relationships, and for our relationships with Hashem. So if we look at the beginning of Shir HaShirim in Perek Bet, it says, Dodi li va'ani lo haro'eh b'shoshanim. In Shir HaShirim, there are two main characters. There is the Ra'aya, which is the female character, and the Dod, who is the male character. And the Ra'aya begins Shir HaShirim by expressing her love over and over again for the Dod. At nauseam, I would say. She's describing everything about him, how much she loves him. From the way she's speaking, you would assume that they had a well-established relationship. However, the Dod barely acknowledges the Ra'aya. The Ra'aya has gone on for all of Parak Aleph, and the Dod chimes in with one pasuk in the beginning of Parak Bet, and then it's back to the Ra'aya. And it is in this context that the Ra'aya, in the middle of Parak Bet, says, Dodi li va'ani lo haro'eh b'shoshanim. Dodi li, my beloved is to me, va'ani lo, and I am to him. What the Ra'aya is saying is, my beloved is to me and I am to him. She is not confident in their relationship. She is saying, yes, my Dod barely reassured me with that one pasuk, that one glimmer of hope, that based on that, I will say, Dodi li, my beloved is to me. But this is not a strong relationship. This is not one that's well established. This is a very shaky relationship. And the Ra'aya therefore says, Dodi li, when my Dod is to me, az va'ani lo, then I am to him. This is as if someone were to come to you and say, I'm dating somebody, he loves me, so I love him. that would automatically set off red flags, and you would say, your love should not be contingent on that of the other person. You should not be looking at it as a contract that if they agree to love me, I will then agree to love them. So that's the point that we are at in Parakbet. It seems kind of shaky. It seems unsure. The Ra'aya definitely does not seem confident in this relationship. However, we have that Pasuk. And the Midrash Lekach Tov, one of the Midrashic compilations, explains Dodi Li Va'ani Lo. What kind of relationship is this describing? This is how the Mefarshim look at all of Shir HaShirim. They pick apart each word and they try to draw out the mashal from it. So this midrash explains, Hu li la Eloha ve'ani lo le'umar. Ki ata avinu ve'ani lo le'ben. Hu li le'roa ve'ani lo le'tson. It gives us an example of this type of relationship. The dodi li ve'ani lo type of relationship, and that is a father and a son, a master and his nation, a shepherd and his sheep, Hu atem hu l'shomer ve'ani lo l'kerem, or even a landowner and his vineyard. These are relationships that one is reliant on the other person. That a child is born into the world, and why do they love their parent? Because their parent loves them, so in return, they love their parent. Or why does a nation love their leader, theoretically? Because the leader provides for them. The leader gives to them. When they feel that the leader cares for them, then they return those feelings. So that is how the Midrash describes this relationship of Dodi Li Va'ani Lo. It is a dependent relationship. However, the more famous formulation of this Pasuk comes up in Perek Vav. In Perek Vav of Shir HaShirim, we are in a very different place in the relationship. At that point, the Dod has admitted his love for the Ra'aya. They have gone back and forth. There is the famous scene where the Dod comes to knock on the door of the Ra'aya, and the Ra'aya's hand slips off the knob before she can allow the Dod inside. Kol Dodi Do Fake. And they finally do come together, and then we arrive at Perek Vav. And unfortunately, Shir HaShirim does not end in the beautiful skipping off into the sunset, as we would like, as is typical of other love stories. Disney would not be quite so beautiful if after Cinderella and Prince Charming reunited with the glass slipper, they then separated and went their own ways and never saw each other again. Unfortunately, that is more the path along which Shir HaShirim goes. They finally come together. There is a high point in the Sefer, but that is not the end of the Sefer. In the end of the day, they do separate again. And there is this constant feeling of them missing each other, of them constantly going on different paths and having to separate. So we arrive at Shir HaShirim Perek Vav, which is right after the unification, when they finally have come together. And the Ra'aya again says, Ani l'dodi Vidodi Li. And as I said, this is a pasuk that we see most famously on wedding invitations and on beautiful decorations of ksubas that are hanging in people's homes. Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. Now, this is a much more confident formulation. The Ra'aya is saying, I love him and he loves me. What is the difference between these two psukim? What makes us say that this Pasuk and Perek Vav sounds like a solid relationship, sounds confident, sounds like they're at a point where they're in true love, as opposed to the first one? Why is this the more famous Pasuk? What I would like to suggest is that the second Pasuk, this Pasuk of Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li, teaches us about vulnerability. What is vulnerability? To be vulnerable is to open yourself up, make yourself uncomfortable, be willing to put yourself out there for some purpose. And Brené Brown really introduced this concept as a relationship idea, not just in love relationships, but in any form of interpersonal relationship. That Brené Brown says that vulnerability is the key to growth in any relationship. That if you would like your relationship to progress from point A to point B, you are going to have to be vulnerable. That vulnerability creates a gap. It says, I am willing to take a risk. I'm willing to put myself out there. And then the other person, the person you are willing to be vulnerable to, can fill that space. So the Ra'aya in Shir HaShir in Perek Vav is saying, Ani Lidodi, I love my beloved. I am willing to put myself out there, even without the reassurance that he loves me. I love him, and my love for him is not contingent on anything else. I love him. And then she says, and because I am so confident to say that, because I've been vulnerable and I have put myself out there, Vidodi Li, he has then reciprocated. Our relationship is so much more solid. We are so much of a better connection because I put myself out there. So that's why that pasuk in Perek Vav sounds like the true relationship that the Ra'aya is teaching us. In order to establish true everlasting love, we must be vulnerable. And Brené Brown introduces a number of challenges to being vulnerable. It's uncomfortable. Nobody wants to put their emotions out there, to let other people see that they are in a place of vulnerability, that they are uncomfortable, that they are awkward. But she says one should know that vulnerability is not a sign of weakness. That being vulnerable, opening yourself up, means exactly the opposite. She said that researchers measure courage through the amount of vulnerability. That is exactly how they measure how courageous is somebody. They are measured in how courageous they are by how vulnerable they are willing to be. She said there are so many benefits to opening up that it so greatly outweighs the potential awkwardness. And she says that if one reflects at the end of the situation, you will realize that being vulnerable was what got you to where you are at this point. And therefore, the next time you go to be vulnerable, that should reassure you. The realization that your relationships only grow and get stronger and more intense and closer because of vulnerability should fuel future vulnerability. And she says, often vulnerability is inescapable. Unless you would like to remain stagnant, you must be vulnerable. So making that choice to actively be vulnerable will put you in the place that you would like to be at the point at which you would like to be. So the Ra'aya is saying, I am willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to say I love my dod. And then I know his love for me will be in return. It will be so much stronger. So who am I to say that Brené Brown gave us an explanation of Shir HaShirim? What does vulnerability have to do with the Torah? Is this a Torah way of thought? Yes, we see all the way back from the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. It's talking about the creation of the world. And it says in Bereishis Perek Bet, it's reflecting on everything that Hashem created. And it says in Pasuk Dalet, Eila toldot Hashemayim v'aretz b'hibaram b'yom asod Hashem Elokim aretz v'shamayim v'hakol siach hasadah terem yiyah v'aretz v'kol esav hasadah terem yitzmach ki lo himtir Adonai Elokim al ha'aretz v'adam ein la'avod et ha'adama. It says that Hashem created the world, and Hashem created on the third day of creation all of the plants, the grasses, the bushes, and the trees in their potential, but they were still stuck in the ground. Because Hashem had not yet provided rain to the land. So the potential for vegetation was there, but it had not yet sprouted. But then the psukim continue on, and they say, V'nahar yotze me'eden lahashkot et hagan, u'misham yipared v'haya le'arba rashim. It says that Hashem created a nahar. Hashem created a river, and Hashem had that river split off into four. And that would be to nourish the land. So the Sforno asks the question, we said that the land had not yet sprouted because there had not yet been rain. But what about the Nahar? What is the purpose then of the Nahar? And the Sforno answers and says, V'nahar yotze me'eden, bilti tsar gishamim va'avodat adam. Sforno is teaching us an extremely important lesson. Sforno is saying, there is this Nahar, and this Nahar is going to provide for the land without the pain of having to ask for rain and without any hard work. So Sfarno is saying to us, Hashem gave us an easy way out. Hashem gave us that backup plan. He gave us the Nahar, and Hashem said, the land will be nourished on a basic level through this Nahar, through this river. However, Hashem is also saying to us that how can you play a role in this creation? How can you play a role in sustaining the world? By working the land and by davening. By davening for rain. And we see so many times throughout our history that the Jews did not have rain in their land. There was a drought in Israel. And they called out to Hashem. They grew closer to Hashem through it. Not having rain is a wake-up call to us as human beings. Hashem is saying to us, there is that Nahar. There's always the easy way out. There's always some way to find water on earth. But that's the easy way out. Hashem is saying, how can you truly develop a connection to me? How can you grow closer to me? By davening for rain. Rain is going to serve as that constant reminder that Hashem is always involved in our lives and that Hashem wants to take care of us, but that Hashem also wants that relationship with us, and that if we are drifting far from Hashem, there might not be rain, and Hashem will say, call out to me, connect to me, show me that you realize that I am in your life. And then we will be that much closer. So you can rely on that river, and our relationship with Hashem can stay over here. But if we want to grow closer to Hashem, if we want to deepen that relationship that we have with our Creator, we can daven for rain. We can take that relationship to the next level. We can go from level A way up to level B. We can grow closer to Hashem through our vulnerability, through putting ourselves out there and saying, we know our lives are in your hands, Hashem. You hold the key to that rain. Please recognize that we are calling out to you and bring us closer to you. Provide for us. Another lesson on vulnerability can be found in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. It says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ohal moed b'achad l'chodesh hasheni b'shna hasheni l'tzeitam eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem spoke to Bnei Israel through Moshe in Midbar Sinai b'ohal moed. It's giving us all the introductory remarks to the Sefer. And many ask, why recap where we're located? We know this. We know the whole deal. We're in the desert. We left Egypt. We know we have not gone into Israel yet because we're only in Sefer Bamidbar. Why tell us that it was in Midbar Sinai? Why is that an important piece of information? And Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutsk says that it was not, he's the Kutzker Rebbe, he says it was not coincidental that the Torah was given in Midbar Sinai. Had it been coincidental that Hashem wanted to wait until they left Egypt to give the Torah, it would have never had to be mentioned again. Hashem could have just given the Torah wherever it was given, and we would have never talked about it again. There are so many things in the Torah that the place they happened was unimportant, so it mentions it once when it's happening, and we never hear about it again. However, the Kutzker Rebbe says there was a significance to that Midbar. What is the significance to the fact that the Torah was given in Midbar Sinai, in the desert? The Kutzker Rebbe says, what's a desert? A desert is a dangerous place. A desert is a place filled with wild animals and not much else. A lot of sand, a lot of heat, very little water, and danger. Entering into the desert at the time of the Torah was like a death wish. There was no easy way out. You could easily be lost and stranded there forever. The desert was scary. But that's where Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem knew it was not easy for the Jewish people to follow him into the desert, to this scary place, this empty place, this place that looked so expansive and so threatening to them. But Hashem said, that is where I will give you the Torah. That when you are willing to take that risk, to follow me into the desert, to come into this emptiness, the Torah will fill up that space. that you will reach an even higher level when you are willing to take those risks. And this applies directly back to our pasuk, that when you're willing to say ani ledodi, when we took that step of ani ledodi in our relationship with Hashem, saying we are going to follow you out of Egypt into the desert, into nothingness, when we are willing to take that step, that is when the Torah fills us up. That is when we were given the Torah. Only once we entered into the desert were we zocha to receive the Torah. So how do we do this? How do we have vulnerability in our relationship with Hashem? What do? We just turn to Hashem and say, I'm being vulnerable. What are the prerequisites to being vulnerable with Hashem? There are two factors that lead to one being able to be vulnerable. Brené Brown says we need to be willing to let go of who we think we should be in order to be who we are. And in order for that to happen, we need to be confident in ourselves. We need to believe in ourselves and believe in our own potential. The Shem Yishmuel talks about a discrepancy between two psukim in Tehillim. One pasuk says, L'chulam b'shemot yikra. The first pasuk is from Sefer Yeshayahu. L'chulam b'shemot yikra. And the second pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, L'chulam shemot yikra. It's a very small difference. L'chulam b'shemot yikra and L'chulam shemot yikra. The difference is what the first pasuk in Yeshayahu is saying, that Hashem calls each and every Jew by name. And the other one is saying that Hashem calls us all by one name. So the Shem Yishmuel asks, how is that possible? Does Hashem see us each as individuals? Or does Hashem see us simply as members of the group, as part of the whole? And just for the sake of time, we are going to do this outside. But the Shem Yishmuel says that the answer is both. In a very Jewish fashion, we can't just have one simple answer. It's that the answer is both, that both psukim hold true. That Hashem sees each and every Jewish person as having a unique role. That they were created for a specific purpose. And therefore, just for that worth of them as an individual, it was worth it to Hashem to create them. However, on the other hand, each person is not only valuable as an individual, however, each individual makes up Klal Yisrael. And we're also seen as our importance in our role of being part of that group. That the world as a whole would not be the same without each and every individual who makes it up. So the Shem Yishmuel says, you should know that you have worth to Hashem on both levels. It was worth it to Hashem to create you simply as an individual, simply as you standing alone. But also, the world as a whole would be lacking without you as a part of it. That each of us have a role that we can play in making up that klal that would be lacking if we were not here. It emphasizes in Pirkei Avot, Hu haya omer, al tihi baz l'kol adam, ve'al tihi mafleg l'kol davar, she'in lecha adam she'in lo sha'a, ve'in lecha davar she'in lo makom. The Pirkei Avot emphasizes that there is no person that doesn't have his hour and his place. So this is the first factor, that we must be confident in ourselves. How can we be confident in ourselves? By knowing that Hashem has instilled his confidence in us. That Hashem believes we have an inherent value as an individual. And that the world as a whole needs us. We have a value and the world cannot function properly without us. That each person has their moment to shine. And there is a reason for each and every one of us to be here. So be confident in yourself. Feel confident that you have something to offer to the world. That you have a reason to grow in these relationships because Hashem believes in you. And the second step is that we must feel confident in the person that we are being vulnerable to. And in our case, Hashem. It says in the Mishnah Masechet Yoma, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecham Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem mitaren, Umi mitareschem avichem shabashamayim. The Mishnah is teaching us that we are so lucky as Jewish people. That who do we come before to purify ourselves? Who do we sacrifice before? Who are we trying to grow closer to? To our Father in heaven. to our Father, someone who loves us, that when we come before someone in judgment, it's not coming before a stranger and it's not coming before a strict ruler. We are coming to be mitaher, to purify ourselves before Avinu Shebashamayim, before our Father in heaven. So again, the two steps to vulnerability are you must be confident in yourself. You must believe that you have enough worth, that you have something to offer. Why grow in relationships if you're a nobody? Why would someone want to be closer to you? So believe in yourself because Hashem believes in you. Hashem believes you have a self-worth, and therefore you must grow, you must offer yourself up. You have something you owe to the world. And second, you must feel confident in who you are being vulnerable to. And that is Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in heaven. That feel confident that Hashem wants us to grow closer to him. So just to conclude, why is this pasuk so famous in the month of Elul? Besides for that it is an acronym for the month of Elul, Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. It's teaching us that when is this vulnerability more necessary than ever? In the month of Elul. That yes, we can wait until Tishrei, and Hashem says, everyone who tries to grow closer to me, I will accept. I will bring them in. I will bring them back to me in tshuva. When Hashem says, shuvu elai v'ashuva elichem, I will bring you back to me. However, we're able to be vulnerable in the month of Elul. We're able to reach out to Hashem. We are able to take that first step of saying, Ani l'dodi, I am going to recommit myself to Hashem, v'dodi li, and then I know Hashem will help bring me back. I know that if I take that first step, Hashem will bring me in. And that our relationship can be so much more powerful if we do that. So the message of this pasuk, Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li, being the acronym for the month of Elul, is teaching us, don't wait for Tishrei. Don't wait for Hashem to do the hard work, for Hashem to pull you in. Take that first step. Be vulnerable. Reach out to Hashem, and your relationship and connection can be even stronger. So may we be zocha to have the confidence in ourselves and the realization that Hashem loves us so much, to be able to be vulnerable with Hashem, to say to Hashem, Ani L'dodi, and Emir to Hashem, Hashem will respond with V'dodi Li. I'm now going to welcome Rabbi Noah Wittenberg. Rabbi Noah Wittenberg is new to the Kol. They just moved here last month. Welcome to Rabbi Wittenberg.
Great. Thank you so much.